You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to this crossover Thursday episode of Locked On Saints and Locked On Bills. We've got Joe Marino at the Joe Marino on Twitter, myself, Ross Jackson at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, Locked On Bills, Locked On Saints. Thanks so much for making us your first listen of the day, every day. Here to bring you a comprehensive preview for this Thanksgiving game. Joe, how excited are you to have a Thanksgiving matchup between these two teams? Because I love me some Thanksgiving football.
I love Thanksgiving football. And first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and
happy
yours,
Thanksgiving,
Ross.
Brother.
I like watching other football on Thanksgiving. It really gets complicated when you add the Bills into the lair of the, you know, the entire dynamics of holidays and, you know, bouncing around between families and you gotta deal with the team you cover. So, yeah. You know, look,
you're basically out of work, right?
You gotta work. And so we'll be up late, getting the post game reaction podcast and all that stuff taken care of. But I love football on Thanksgiving. I don't necessarily love it when it is the Buffalo Bills.
Well, we're going to have us a fun time here previewing this Bills at New Orleans Saints game here on Thanksgiving. It's going to be the evening game, as you mentioned. We're going to start off with questions that Joe has for me about the Saints. I've got some questions for Joe. Then we're going to talk through what a win looks like for both of these teams. So, Joe, why don't you go ahead and take it away, man? Let's chat through this Bills and Saints matchup.
Appreciate that, Ross. And the first thing I want to ask you about is this offense and what you expect it to look like on Thursday. It appears they're severely undermanned. I mean, we already know Jameis Winston, Adam Trautman, Michael Thomas, those guys aren't going to be around, but Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram and both the tackles, you know, we're not talking about any tackles. We're talking about the best right tackle in the game and Ryan Ramczyk and Taron Armstead, who's one of the best left tackles in the game. And so I'd like to kind of get your thoughts on what you're expecting from this offense on Thursday. How is Trevor Siemian looking? And then if you can just, you know, for Bills fans who might not see a ton of Saints football, how does this Taysom Hill wrinkle factor into the equation?
Yeah, look, the thing that really kind of stands out first amongst this team going into this matchup is going to be who's playing quarterback this week. Trevor Siemian has been the guy for the last 3 weeks, but they've also gone 0-3 under him. Yes, he came in against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when Jameis Winston was hurt and kind of had this heroic win in New Orleans, but the defense did a big part of that, the pick six to close it out, all of that by PJ Williams. But so I think that when you look ahead to where this team is looking for Thursday, this matchup, you could potentially see Taysom Hill either get a lot more snaps at center or even potentially be the guy. I mean, we'll figure more of that out later on, you know, throughout all of this as we get more injury reports and everything. But the injury report for the New Orleans Saints has been intimidating to say the least, right? As you mentioned, you have both of these tackles that are on there. One, in Ryan Ramczyk has not participated so far this week. You had Taron Armstead, who moved up to limited participation for both of those days. The Saints right now have neither of their starting running backs practicing. So I think that depending upon the availability and who is able to go, like let's say that Mark Ingram is able to go, I think this team will still very much focus on the run game. And honestly, even if Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara are unable to go, they'll still focus on the run game. Buffalo Bills allowing 4.1 yards per carry, the same as the Philadelphia Eagles. And we saw the Saints really go at the Philadelphia Eagles in the run game as long as they could, right? They had to abandon that eventually because they were in a hole for, you know, three scores after a bit. So what's going to be important for this team is get out there, score early, try to dictate as much as of this game as they can on the ground. It's not going to be the easiest to do, though, because you're dealing with all of these injuries along the offensive line. So the interesting thing about this New Orleans Saints offense is that it comes with caveats the entire way. They can do something really, really special and end up going out there and having this great game, but there are so many different reasons why that might not happen along this roster.
Yeah. And I mean, you think about Sean Payton, you think about Sean McDermott, the respective head coaches here. Mm-hmm. These guys know each other. You know, McDermott was in the NFC South for a while with Carolina. And then in 2017, you guys probably remember the Saints destroyed the Bills that season and they had 297 rushing yards, 100 each from, you know, Kamara and Ingram. Right. And so when you think about that, when you think about what Jonathan Taylor did to the Bills last week, and, you know, let's be honest, a deficient situation at quarterback, regardless of who's playing, and, you know, probably modest weapons for the Saints in the passing game, we know the Saints are going to run the football on Thursday night. So Let's shift gears to the defense. Some injuries there, but not nearly as bad. Still impact players at every position of this defense, and David Onyemata and Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis, who's one of my favorite players in the NFL. I mean, yeah. Marcus Williams is here, Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, there is star power all over this defense. And so what's going right, and where has the defense shown some vulnerability this year so far?
Yeah, look, I don't want to play too much into the run game being weak based upon last week's matchup up against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think that that's kind of the first place that a lot of folks are going, that, oh, all of a sudden the Saints run game isn't good anymore. I mean, the Saints gave up over 200 rushing yards to the Philadelphia Eagles last year as well, and it went on to play very well against the run for the rest of the season. So I expect very much that same thing. So I would say the thing that's going right is the front seven, even though they are dealing with some injuries. Peyton Turner, first round rookie. We were there when he got drafted, when we were covering the draft. And then you have all of the other defensive ends that are also dealing with injuries. Marcus Davenport, and then you have Tonto Passanio. So there are some injuries along that front defensive line, but they still have a really, really good front there, as you mentioned, Cam Jordan, as well as David Onyemata. And so DeMario Davis leads this entire defense. That run game is what's going to be going right, or run defense is what's going to be going right. The thing that actually has been going right over the course of the past few games has been Marshawn Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore has been pretty subpar over the course of the last few games. Since week seven, he's allowed a pass rating of 156.3. He's allowed some of the most receiving yards in the NFL and the most yards after catch in the NFL as well. So he's been struggling a bit over the course of these last couple of games. And that's not great when you've got the, you know, revenge game on the way for Emmanuel Sanders potentially. Yeah. And then of course you've got Stephon Diggs waiting on the other side here too. Now, Marshawn has shown that he can rise to the occasion against elite wide receivers, which I believe Stephon Diggs is one of the best in the NFL. So would love to see him do that, but we'll have to see exactly how it is that he's able to sort of step up to the plate in this one, because they're going to need him.
Ross, the Saints started 4-2. They dropped their last three. When you consider what has went wrong as for the team here, is they've stumbled. Is it as simple as saying, well, they've got injuries and they don't have their starting quarterback, or are there some other contributing factors to be mindful of during this three-game skid here?
I think there's obviously you can point at the injuries for sure, but I also think that this is a team that shot themselves in the foot a couple of times over the course of the last few games. I mean, missing two extra points, putting you in a situation to where you have to go for two, which the Saints are like 0-for-9 in their last nine attempts over the course of the last couple of years.
They're good red zone offense too.
Yeah, so, yeah. And they've just not been very good in terms of two-point conversions for whatever reason. And, you know, when they were going up against the Tennessee Titans, they could have tied it up, but then you had the Adam Trautman false start that pushed them back. So then they're going from 7 yards out instead of 2 yards out, so that changes the game, the play call entirely. You've had penalties that have caused them issues. You've had mental lapses over on the defensive side as well, just in terms of communication. So I would say that sort of what we have seen over the course of these last few games is a lot of sort of the mental side of the game coming up short. And that's caused the Saints some issues in which they haven't been able to close out games, even though they've been able to storm back in those fourth quarters when the opposing defense has softened.
Ross, if I can sneak one more in here for you. What's interesting about the Saints is the continuity with the coaching staff. It's pretty unreal. You don't see this. Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael, Dennis Allen, they've been together for a really long time. And so I want to get your thoughts on that. You think it's been a benefit to the team? Has there been anything about the continuity that has made things a little stale? And the reason I want to bring this up is because the Bills fans right now, a lot of them are doubting the benefits of continuity. And so I wanted to see how you thought it applied to New Orleans and what they've been able to accomplish under Sean Payton.
Yeah, look, I've heard some folks talk about, you know, and even within the New Orleans Saints fan base, that Sean Payton's becoming predictable, or Sean Payton's, you know, system or approach has or scheme has become, you know, not as surprising and hasn't been as efficient or effective over the course of this year. And I don't know that necessarily that's the case, because we've seen this offense, we've seen Sean Payton's system work for 16 years, or I guess 15 years. And you know, there's a struggle there now. But when you have undrafted free agent wide receivers that are your top receivers, you're rolling with a third string quarterback right now and Trevor Siemian, you've lost all these pieces along the offensive line, and Andres Pete, Teron Armstead, Eric McCoy, and Ryan Ramczyk for, you know, various different amounts of time. You haven't been able to utilize your star player on the offensive side, your game breaker in Alvin Kamara over the course of the last two games. I think that has more to do with what we haven't seen work for the New Orleans Saints here recently. So I don't think that the continuity over the course of time has hurt them. I think that it has helped them in terms of being able to know exactly what they're doing. I mean, they bring people into a culture, and the thing that they do that's really interesting is that instead of them having individual roles that they fill running back one through running back three, and these are your lists of responsibilities, sort of the old Bill Belichick way. The way that they kind of go about it is, what are your strengths and how do we build this team around you and put you in a situation to be able to do what you do well in terms of helping this New Orleans Saints team win? And that's one of the things that's been really unique about the way that they approach the game, and something that's been really beneficial. And it's one of the reasons too why players want to go to New Orleans. I mean, the Saints have been able to pull some of the top free agents, or at least free agents that people don't expect, in terms of Emmanuel Sanders, Jared Cook, DeMario Davis. I mean, those were all huge gets for them, as well as more. And I think that that is a huge part of it. So I think the continuity for Buffalo in terms of being able to develop that coaching continuity will over time become really, really beneficial for them as they have sort of this rejuvenation within their franchise right now. And they're a lot of fun to watch.
It's Thanksgiving, and we know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. And BetOnline has you covered all holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Go check out their new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. And BetOnline is where we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving.
All right, y'all, continuing on with this crossover Thursday episode. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Thank you so much for making us your first listen of the day. Locked On Bills, Locked On Saints. Got Joe Marino here at the Joe Marino on Twitter. Myself, Ross Jackson at Ross Jackson Nola. Joe, I'm going to go ahead and dive into my questions for you about the Buffalo Bills. And I want to start off here, just sort of talk about this roller coaster season for the Buffalo Bills. What has been the catalyst for sort of the ups and downs for this team so far this season?
Yeah, so obviously expectations were very, very high for the Buffalo Bills. And at times they've played to those expectations. And you say, wow, this is a really capable team of being dominant and going out and making a lot of plays and being tough to deal with. You've also seen some situations where the game hasn't gone the way they want it to go. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this Bills team has collectively struggled to adjust and be able to handle some adversity early in football games when they're not able to step on a football field and just blow opponents away. I mean, if you look over the last couple of years, the Bills have had some very high margin of victory wins. And I'll use the word entitled because I feel like the Bills are a team that when they step on the football field, there's this expectation that it's supposed to go a certain way. Mm-hmm. And this year, when it hasn't, they haven't been able to get out of that rut. And you can see the life just kind of gets sucked out of the team. And they aren't able to overcome some adversity that comes their way early in football games. And so they're capable, they're talented, they're tough to deal with, but they have to show that they can be resilient and overcome some adversity and realize that nobody just hands you the victory, right? Like you have to go out and do it. And I know these are kind of like elementary, weird talking points to get into, but as we've watched this journey, as we've watched this Bills team glow up under Sean McDermott and get to this point where a lot of people thought this was a Super Bowl team, and for them to kind of show that this year, but also they're 6-4, they've lost two of their last three, including one to the Jaguars, 9-6 win. They just got smoked by the Indianapolis Colts. I think it's kind of fair at this point to question what this team's made of. And in a lot of ways, I think they're happy that it's a short week and they get to get back on the field and, you know, try to redefine who they are and change some of these narratives. But right now, I'll be honest, there's a little doubt creeping in about the toughness and overall mental makeup of this team to be able to handle some adversity and be able to adjust when things aren't going their way early in the game.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to watch, especially when you have teams like, I mean, you know, covering the New Orleans Saints, this is a team that has managed adversity and sort of has shown a propensity to be able to do that, but hasn't been able to do it over the course of the last three games, right? It's just been too much. So do you feel like the situations around the Buffalo Bills in terms of what it is that has been too much for them when it comes to adversity are self-inflicted, or is there something else out there that's causing them issues in these games?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. Some of it's self-inflicted. The Bills are struggling when it comes to penalties. They're getting a lot called on them this year. Mm-hmm. They are having some ill-advised moments in just sequences in games where it might be a false start and then a sack, and then all of a sudden you thought you were driving and it's 3rd and 18 or something like that, and you kind of get off that script. And other times it's situations where they just don't bounce back. There's just not good complementary football at times. And so things tend to spiral. The other thing is that there has been some injuries. And I know that mentioning injuries is probably something that Saints fans would laugh about, right? But I mean, whether it's been some COVID situations with Spencer Brown at right tackle, who forces Darrell Williams to go back out to right tackle, and you get worse in two spots. Star Latulele, their space eater in the middle of the defense, he's been out with COVID. And so, you know, some of that has impacted the team. Tremaine Edmonds, the starting linebacker, last 2 years, he was a Pro Bowler. He hasn't played the last 2 weeks, and you can feel it. You can sense that, you know, it's a different group when he's not on the field, right? They don't have the leader of their defense. And so, you know, they haven't had the same injury problems as the Saints and a lot of other teams, but those absences have shown up. You felt them. They've mattered. And so I think there's been some injuries. There's been some adversity. And you know, this team has got to kind of find out what they're made of. Last year, you watched this team. They were so hungry. Every time they stepped on the field, I mean, you can see they wanted to impose their will, and they were hunting, right? And they wanted to go out and just be this dominant team. And
yeah,
I think they kind of expected it to happen this year. And they haven't necessarily found a way to get out of some of the ruts that they found themselves in.
Yeah. That defense that you mentioned, I know they've been dealing with some injuries, particularly with Tremaine Edmonds, who, by the way, is one of my favorite linebackers in the NFL that I still don't feel like it's talked about enough, even though he has been a Pro Bowler over the course of these last couple of years. But this defense has shown a propensity to be really, really good against the passing game in particular. Yeah. Right now, they're allowing the league's lowest completion percentage. What are they doing to mix things up over on the defensive side? And how might they try to confuse a quarterback like Trevor Siemian, who's been effectively off of the field since 2017 until this season?
Well, you've got continuity on the back end. The back seven of the Bills defense, they've all been together since 2018, and a lot of them since 2017, with the same secondary coach, the same defensive coordinator, the same head coach. So you have talent, good coaching, and continuity, right? That's a good recipe for pass defense, especially. There's not any route combinations they haven't seen. They know how to play off of each other. They understand how to layer coverage and space it and squeeze routes. Like, they're very good at that. And so they're sound in zone coverage, but then they've started to play a little bit more man on third downs, and you can see them get aggressive and get in the face of receivers at the line of scrimmage. And so their defensive scheme in terms of pass defense is evolving with that continuity, talent, and coaching. So it's been exciting to see. I think when you look at Trevor Siemian, you know, one thing that, as I studied him in preparation of this game, he drops off when he has to hold onto the football for more than 2.5 seconds. So I think it's a situation where you want to try to force him off that first read, force him to move his eyes, maybe force him off of his platform. And you can see that he unravels a little bit. I think he's only got a completion percentage of 37% when he's blitzed this year.
Right.
And so I think you can get away with sending some extra rushers. Now, to Siemian's credit, under pressure, he's had some really dynamic throws and some big moments. But I will say that you feel like that's probably going to catch up with him a little bit, right? He's not a top three passer in the NFL under pressure like he is right now in terms of quarterback rating. And so I think it's a situation where you force him to move his eyes, force him to work full field progressions, trust the consistency of your secondary, and then you have this deep, talented defensive line rotation that you've built up, and you got a Saints offensive line that has potentially some backup caliber players and third stringers, let's be honest, at tackle that could potentially have to play. And you got to feel good about that recipe to affect Siemian and really make it difficult for the Saints to pass the football.
Yeah, worth keeping an eye out on if over at the right tackle position, if you end up seeing a guy like maybe Jordan Mills have to come in.
Yeah, we know
in
him.
This one. And y'all are very familiar with him. So, yeah, the Saints are you know, really struggling in terms of staying healthy and maintaining depth over in that offensive line. To wrap us up here with the line of questioning that I've got for you, I want to talk a little bit about where the Buffalo Bills are headed. You know, for New Orleans Saints fans and those of us that have covered the New Orleans Saints for a while, we've sort of watched this team go through, you know, its resurrection, you know, with Sean Payton and with Drew Brees and with Pete Carmichael. And now things are kind of getting, you know, getting felt out and sort of figuring things out. Right now, though, the Buffalo Bills are kind of on that upswing. How fun has that been to sort of watch this team get better, be competitive, and be a team that you can have high expectations for?
Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air after 17 seasons in a row of no playoffs. Sean McDermott gets hired in 2017. Everyone says this team is tanking. Well, they tanked their way to the playoffs in 2017. And I think that was important, Ross, to set the foundation. You think about how important it is for players to trust coaches, to put them in good positions to be successful. Yeah. And when you come in year one and you are a dumpster fire and you're rebuilding and you like overly embrace the rebuild, can be a little bit of a problem, because I don't think you do a good enough job in year one of really setting the foundation and delivering a message that players are going to buy into. So I think that was a critical step in where the Bills are going. Now in 2018, they had to take their medicine and get through some salary cap issues. And that set the stage for what we've seen in 2019 and 2020. It's been really fun to watch this team develop. It's been really fun to have expectations, to see them get the quarterback situation solved for the first time since 1995. And I'll be honest, I'm glad I started doing this podcast when I did back in January of 2019, because Ross, it would have been a tough stretch there going through the Rex Ryan years, you know, going through Dick Duran and Mike Mularkey and all these guys, Doug Marrone. Yeah. It would have been some tough conversations to have here on Locked On Bills. So I'm glad I came in at the right time.
Absolutely. Hey, look, 2017, big time turning point for both of these franchises, both with great drafts and a big time turnaround here. And we look for the New Orleans Saints or the Buffalo Bills to maybe be able to further their bid for the playoffs and their bid within their division in this game on Thanksgiving Day. Up next, we're going to talk a bit about what a win looks like for each of these teams. We'll be getting to that here in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about everything going on with our friends over at Built.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. If you haven't tried a Built Bar yet, I just have to be honest with you, you're missing out, all right? You're missing out. And right now, this is a great time to go and try those Built Bars, because we're not just talking about standard protein bars, right, that are kind of chewy and gritty and hard to choke down and everything. No, we're talking about protein bars that you'd swear you're eating a candy bar, covered 100% chocolate. And right now on the site at Built.com, 20% off store-wide. This is the time to go ahead and try them if you haven't tried them just yet. Incredible flavors, including some things that might sound like they're packed with sugar, right? Vanilla cream right now they've got up there, blueberry muffin they've got up there, a bunch of their Built Puff marshmallow bars as well. But we only talk about 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 4 or 5 grams in net carbs, while you're getting 17, 18 grams of protein. So head over to the site today, built.com, get that 20% off store-wide. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off as well. That's 15% off with promo code LOCKED15 over at built.com, the best protein bar on the market. All right, everybody, we are wrapping up this crossover Thursday Thanksgiving edition. Locked On Bills, Locked On Saints crossover for you. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills. Myself, Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. So, Joe, let's start with the visiting team here. Buffalo Bills coming to town in New Orleans. Going to see if they're going to be able to grab the turkey leg, or I don't know if they're still doing like the three-legged turkey or whatever. I'm sure they're still doing something like that, but whatever. These guys going to be looking to have a little bit of Thanksgiving dinner after this game. What do the Bills have to do in this one to get a win and be able to celebrate over that weird turkey?
Yeah, I think it starts with being able to stop the run. We know the Saints are going to want to run the football. We talked already about what happened in 2017, the familiarity between McDermott and Peyton, what the Colts did to the Bills last week, the deficiencies that the Saints have right now in the passing game. They're going to want to run the football. Mm-hmm. And that means that the Bills are going to have to defend it. And to be honest, entering last week against the Colts, the Bills were third in the NFL in yards per carry allowed on the ground, right? Like, they haven't been a disaster of a run defense. And so they have to get back to some of those fundamentals that have made them successful stopping the run in the past. And I think when you have a situation like this where we're talking about the best receivers being Tre'Quan Smith and Marquez Callaway, I don't think anyone's going to sit here and pound the table as those being, you know, number one receivers or, you know, really desirable number two receivers. I think you have to force the Saints and invite the Saints to throw the football. I mean, I'm talking 8-man boxes, whatever you need to do to say, no, you're not running the ball, and we'll take our chances with our secondary against your passing game. And I think that's a recipe that the Bills have to embrace. And that's first and foremost. And then secondly, the Bills need to embrace a different game script. I've kind of alluded to this. You don't walk onto the field and you're not up 21-0 immediately. You have to earn that. And so just understand it's a 60-minute game. And drives that end in a kick, or they're not bad, right? Extra point, a field goal, a punt. That's okay. Just keep playing. I think that you have a real situation here where I think the Bills are a more talented football team right now based on the injuries that the Saints have. Mm-hmm. And so if you embrace a normal game script, you don't beat yourself. They keep score the whole time. You like to feel like at the end of it, you can have more points than the Saints. I think, you know, kind of in a very simple elementary way of talking about this game. And I can go into all kinds of scheme and X's and O's, right? But I just feel like it's more of a mindset for this Bills football team more than anything right now. Just embrace the game script, keep playing, and see what happens at the end of 60 minutes. And I think the Bills, if they do that, if they don't implode, they'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Look, that's really familiar in terms of what the New Orleans Saints are going to need as well. I mean, yes, in order for them to win, it's going to have to effectively be the opposite of what you just mentioned, right? That's how the Bills win. The opposite is how the Saints win. They have to be able to run the football. But it's going to be a little challenging. If they don't have Mark Ingram, if they don't have Alvin Kamara, which at the time of us recording this, we don't know yet, are they going to have to move forward with Tony Jones Jr. and Ty Montgomery? Because if so, you're not really going to be putting up a big rushing attack in that situation. Yes, Ty Montgomery had over 100 rushing yards in week 17 up against the Carolina Panthers last year, but that was a PJ Walker-led Carolina Panthers team that wasn't playing for anything at the end of the season, right? So it's a very, very different situation than two actively engaged teams right now that are fighting within their division and that are fighting within their conference for playoff seeding and playoff positioning. So for me, they have to be able to figure out this run game regardless of who the running back is. And ideally, they get one of Mark Ingram more likely than Alvin Kamara back for this one. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're able to produce a bit on the ground, but the Saints are not going to be able to reliably throw the football. And we've seen that over the course of this season so far. Even when it was Jameis Winston under center, these receivers had a lot of trouble with separation. They had a lot of trouble with spacing. You know, Marquez Callaway is somebody that kind of got everybody very excited with those couple of big plays against the Jacksonville Jaguars in the preseason. But then he's come into the season here so far, and he's being asked to run this X receiver route tree, which for the Saints includes a lot of in-breaking routes, out-breaking routes. I mean, he has to do a lot of quick cuts, but he rounds everything off. I mean, this guy is like, he's cruising down the causeway more than he is actually, like, you know, making these cuts the way that you would see Michael Thomas do. And so that has been a big issue just in terms of being able to generate that separation and be able to be where he needs to be, where Trevor Siemian is expecting him to be as well. So we've seen all of these sort of different versions of what has made it so complicated for the Saints in the passing game. And either they're going to have to be able to do it effectively, or they're going to need to be okay staying away from it because the running game is cooking. The other thing here is that they have to do something in the first three quarters. This New Orleans Saints team, quarters 1 through 3, is a vastly different team than quarter 4. And we have seen that time and time again. Going into the game up against the Philadelphia Eagles, Trevor Siemian's passer rating was like 84 in the first three quarters, which isn't terrible, but not great. And then in the fourth quarter, it was up to 124, right? So he has really, really been able to settle in when, you know, teams have a 2-score lead, a 3-score lead, and they're playing off coverage, and you're seeing cover 2 shells and 2 deep shells, and they're just basically giving you what you want at that point, right? They're playing soft, they're protecting a lead. And so I think that that is something that the New Orleans Saints have to be able to flip the script on. It's going to be hard to do on a short week. Buffalo, of course, also dealing with a short week, so it's not that like it's unfair for the Saints here, but it's going to be really interesting. And I think the last thing is going to be being disciplined and hoping that Buffalo isn't disciplined, right? That Buffalo has sort of those mental mistakes, and that the crowd puts them in a position to where they have these sort of procedural penalties, false starts, delay of games, things like that. And they'll have to be able to take advantage of that. In the Buffalo Bills loss to the Jaguars, I think they had like 12 penalties, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
And then, yeah. And then over the course of the last few games, you've seen pretty steadily around 7 or so over the past couple of games. And so they have to be able to take advantage of that if they end up getting that opportunity. You know, you mentioned the Bills having those drives, and all of a sudden it's 3rd and 18, right? They're driving and then they back themselves up some way or another. The Saints are going to have to be able to do that. And then the defense, it has to come down to the stars playing like stars. Marshawn Lattimore has to get back up and step up to the plate. DeMario Davis has to be able to lead this team from his spot. And this defensive line has to find a way to be disruptive. They really, really struggled against the read option up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Josh Allen is one of those guys that is mobile and can be one of those pesky runners, and he makes it very much a part of his game. The Saints are going to have to be able to limit that as well. So the fact of the matter, Joe, is that in order for the Saints to win this game, a lot has to go right. And maybe it's the holiday season. Maybe that happens because it's the holiday season. The Saints right now undefeated over the past 3 seasons on holiday games, Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving.
Oh.
This could be the first loss, but you know, if there's going to be any type of holiday magic, they're going to need it on Thanksgiving Day.
Should be a good one. 2 hungry football teams, 2 teams that need a win. And the national spotlight is going to be on this game. And so
yep.
Big one for both teams on Thursday night. I'm joined now by Kyle Trimble. He's a doctor of physical therapy. He runs bangedupbills.com. You can follow him on Twitter at bangedupbills. He joins us each week to talk about the injury situation. And there really isn't a whole lot from the Buffalo Bills perspective here. They don't have a single player on the active roster that has an injury designation. The two players are still in COVID protocol. Spencer Brown, the right tackle, Star Latulule. And so from an overall injury situation, this is as light as it gets, especially considering it's a short week. It's week 12. And so the Bills enter this game mostly healthy. One interesting note, though, is that wide receiver Marquez Stevenson, one of the Bills draft picks, has been on injured reserve all year to this point. They designated him from return. And so as we welcome Dr. Kyle Trimble to this podcast and get his thoughts on the overall status of the Bills, first of all, let me say happy Thanksgiving to you. And thanks for joining us. And I'm anxious to get your overall thoughts on the state of the Bills' health.
As always, thanks for having me, Joe. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody else in Bills Mafia. Yeah, I'm loving this injury report. I noted that on Twitter on Wednesday that things are looking good. We get about one of these once a year where everything just looks very clean. Everything looks really positive and the team is on an upward trend. We see Cole Beasley was limited during the early portion of the week and then it was full on Wednesday. No designation. Same with Tremaine Edmonds. It's good to see that he was in full, indicating he probably could have played on Sunday, but the weather probably had a factor into that. And then also the short turnaround game. We also did see that that had a determination or a decision-making process went into that with John Feliciano with his calf injury. He said if it wasn't a short week, he probably would have been playing in this game had it been on a Sunday. So we see how the short week definitely plays on guys' availability, but it's good to see that Beasley was practicing in full and that Edmonds was ready to go. We're also seeing that Marquez Stevenson was activated from the injured reserve in that he opened his practice window. So he has 21 days to practice with the team, and they can make a determination whether they put him to the active roster or whether they shut him down for the season. If they shut him down for the season, he cannot come back for the remainder of the season. So it's important to note they did this last year with Isaiah Hodgins. He was active for a bad day and then went down with a shoulder injury, which he eventually got surgery for shortly thereafter. Sean McDermott had said that all options are open with regards to what Marquez Stevenson can do, whether he plays on Thursday. We don't know where he's at, whether he's down there with the team or not, but they'd have to just wait and see whether they activate him to the roster. I'm okay with him sitting on the sidelines and get acclimated to the offense, but with how Isaiah McKenzie has been playing and the options they have at the depth for wide receiver, I'm open to it if it provides a spark.
So there's a realistic situation here where if the Bills get through this game on Thursday healthy, they get Spencer Brown and Star Latulule back. You would assume for the Monday night game, that's way in the distance right now. They'll have those two players available. They'll have John Feliciano available. And like this team would be crazy healthy entering week 13, assuming they get through Thursday clean. I mean, that's kind of nuts, right? Am I interpreting this correctly in that this could be a fully healthy team entering week 13 if they get through Thursday without any injuries?
They certainly could. I mean, they got through the game against the Colts without any injuries. We saw that in the injury report this week. And then one other point I want to bring up, Marquez Stevenson. By this point, he is fully healthy. Going back to when he originally suffered the injury that led to him going on an injury reserve, he suffered against the Bears game. He suffered the right foot injury. It looked like a midfoot sprain. If you recall, he had had that electric touchdown punt return against the Bears where they just killed him in the preseason. And then right afterward, he went into the locker room. And upon replay, he actually injured it a few plays before, which made the punt return all that more impressive. He had gotten twisted down and the foot was kind of planted in the ground, suggesting the midfoot sprain. He played in the next game against the Packers, and then they decided to say, let's put you on injury reserve. And I'm sure that there was a thought process as we're not going to get him to practice squad without somebody snatching him up. Let's put him on injury reserve because he has an injury. So could he have come back sooner? Absolutely. But I just don't think there was a place for him. So the fact that he was able to rehab fully, I mean, I don't think this guy has a nick on him. So to see him come back in a fresh body, especially at such a vital position where we've seen struggles with McKenzie and the special teams in general, I mean, that's a slam dunk. Like, if he's able to get to speed, put him in there if you can find somebody that you can cut and give him a spot.
Well, as good as things are for the Bills when it comes to injuries right now, they are not rosy at all when it comes to the Saints. Now, prior to this week and all the injuries that they have, they're already without Jameis Winston, their starting quarterback, Adam Trautman, their starting tight end, Michael Thomas, their number one wide receiver, their kicker, Will Lutz, you know, out for the year. And then you look at the injury designations for this week. They're without Alvin Kamara. He's out, their starting running back. They're without Ryan Ramczyk, who's, I think, the best right tackle in the NFL. They won't have Marcus Davenport, who's their starting right defensive end. They're without Tano Passignon, who's one of their key rotational defensive ends. And, of course, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's a key slot corner for them. I mean, you want to talk about a bad situation, it's the Saints when it comes to their injuries. Now, they still have two players that are very much questionable for the game on Thursday. Mark Ingram, the running back in place of Alvin Kamara, he's still an important part of their offense, even with Kamara in the lineup. And then their starting left tackle, Terron Armstead, he is questionable for Thursday. And so as you consider the two players whose status is up in the air, Ingram and Armstead, curious if you've had any insight on either situation.
There's not a ton of information on Ingram or Armstead, but Ingram, he's an old player by now. He had the knee injury. It popped up on the following Sunday's game. He was limited practice on Monday, which would have been a walkthrough, did not participate on Tuesday, and then was limited again on Wednesday. So with how everything is set up with injury-wise, you have to see that he's going to go. I don't see how they wouldn't. I mean, they do have backups, but he's one of the few bright spots on that team that can still play. So I'm sure he's going to go, but he might start wearing down, especially in the third and fourth quarter, especially with how the offensive line is banged up. And then Terron Armstead, I mean, he's dealing with the foot and shoulder injuries. He's already missed two games missed the two games due to those injuries, and also missed two games prior to an elbow injury. So he's also going out there as, you know, the walking wounded. Can he play? Yeah. But should he play? I don't know, but they probably don't have much options. I know that the Saints have Jordan Mills, which the Bills do recall him not being very good. So an injured Terron Armstead or a Jordan Mills, I don't know. I'd rather pick the Terron Armstead any day there. So this is a perfect opportunity for the Bills to just get out there. You know, they've all been saying that the Bills are punched in the mouth by the Colts. Well, it's our turn to punch somebody in the mouth and get out ahead and just do what they need to do. I mean, when the Bills are stacked up against teams with a lot of injuries, they've done, I would consider, fairly well. I went back and looked at the games this previous season here, and I took it to look at the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Titans. When the other team had a lot more injuries than the Bills went 2-1 in those games, with the only loss being against the Titans on that final drive there. So there is an injury mismatch. I would consider this to be on that same level of the Titans and the Dolphins and Jets. So the Bills should be able to take advantage of this, but they still have to play their game. But the deck is stacked in their favor. I don't see how they can't take advantage of it.
Well, I normally say goodbye to you, and then I give you my predictions for the game. Well, I'm going to keep you around for the predictions part of our final podcast before the Bills take on the Saints. And look, it's Thursday, it's Thanksgiving, it's a short week. Things get weird under these circumstances. And so I'm not going to sit here and give you the typical, you know, 3-4 things about the game and then an actual result prediction, because I think that's kind of silly to try to predict, you know, Thursday games. They're just really, really challenging in terms of those really fine details. But I am going to offer a prediction in terms of the result on whether or not I think the Bills will win, and then Kyle, I'll get your thoughts on whether or not you think the Bills will win. Here's the deal. I know that this is a short week. It's on the road. But I really like what Sean McDermott said about getting back together as a team, playing on a short week. Like, this comes at a good time. And he talked about how getting away and, you know, being together on a holiday could be a good thing for the team to connect and, you know, bond over and really propel this team moving forward. And so I'll buy in. I will. And on top of that, this Saints team is just ridiculously undermanned. I mean, we're talking about severe losses across this roster. And I know that they still have some talented players on this defense, but come on now, with Josh Allen and Steph Diggs and, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, Dawson Knox, I mean, the Bills should be able to score. And considering this is a depleted Saints offense with Trevor Siemian at quarterback and, you know, a hobbled Mark Ingram as a starting running back without a couple of the offensive linemen, without their left guard, Andrus Peat, and their right tackle, Ryan Ramczyk, they could be without Terron Armstead. I mean, this is a shorthanded Saints team if there ever was one. You got to be able to take the field, play your game, and trust that your talent advantage can beat this football team. And so I'm in on a Bills win for Thursday night. I would be disappointed if it was any other way. In fact, I really am not looking forward to a reaction podcast on Friday if I have to talk about a Bills loss. So give me a Bills win to cap the Thanksgiving holiday. And Kyle, I'll get your thoughts here on whether or not you think the Bills will win.
I tipped my hand a little bit earlier on that last part before you began talking, but they have to win. Injuries are a part of football, and some teams can really take advantage of it. And, you know, we've seen countless time and time again how you've seen great teams. I think of the Raiders back 4 or 5 years ago when Derek Carr broke his leg. They were destined to go far, and then they were first round exit because of injuries. We see injuries affect the game that teams go out early. Other teams have great runs. This is one of those opportunities where the Bills were down. They're now on national TV. They are the healthier team. They have every opportunity to show the nation, hey, we're not dead yet. I expect the Bills win. I don't care whether it's by 1 point or 50. They're going to win. I put it on my tombstone for all I care, but they're going to win because they have the advantage and they're the more talented team. And Rand.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's kind of that simple. They're the more talented football team with more to prove, right? Like, go out, be hungry, change the narrative, and do it in front of the national spotlight. I think that's exactly what this Bills football team needs to do tonight. So, all right, the hay is in the barn. We've done all we can on this podcast to get ready for the Saints. It was a short week, but we still got it all in. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone listening today. I hope you had a wonderful day. I'm looking forward to this game tonight, and I'm looking forward to reacting to it for you tomorrow. And again, a big thank you to Dr. Kyle Trimble for giving his expertise on the injury situation. And go Bills. Looking forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.